We're running short. I may point again. So I told people to be on the alert. He also said he was teaching on honor. Remember last week? So he'll pick that up next week. But he said, if you can give a few minutes on honor this morning that would go in line with what he was saying. I said, sure. Okay, so the first one, I have to get my Bible, the other Bible. Everybody having fun this morning?
Yeah.
If somebody misbehaves, where's Bill? Andy, you can see him too, just in the back of the head. Forgot what I was looking for. Okay. Here it is. Okay, honor is esteeming the other person higher than yourself. Okay, that's what honor means. How many have known Mike for a long time? I don't know how old he is. I think he's at that ripe age of 39 now, isn't he?
41.
I know he's 41. Nobody's older than 39. Come on. But how many have known him since he was like 20 or 25? Yeah. And how did you know him? Mike? No, not what he, not his character is what his name was. But you knew him as Mike. That was my point. Okay. And I lost the thing again. Jeez. Okay, I want to read something. This Ephesians 4. Anyway, God has given us pastor or apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the with that anointing is for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. Okay, I remember when I was first made an elder years ago at the first church, second church I was in. We were only in three back there, wasn't it? But anyway, I can remember when I was made an elder, something happened in the spirit with me and with my wife Judith. With the anointing, all of a sudden the anointing that word elder when we had hands laid on us, something happened within us. The power of God just all of a sudden one day we're here and then we're here. Okay, every word of God contains the power to create exactly what that word says. Okay, so when I think of Mike, I think of Pastor Mike, and the reason why I think of Pastor Mike is because the anointing of pastor is on his life, and I want to be connected to that anointing.
Amen.
Now, that doesn't mean you can't, and when you're having a cup of coffee with him, call him Mike or anything. But I like it when we're around here. He's Pastor Mike to me because of that anointing that's within him. And so and that's giving him honor, okay? And it's giving the word honor there. So that was my first thing. But it's the anointing of God in his life that has been ordained here that we want to always be in connection with. And when we're praying then, we're going to be able to pick things up with him that we can pray for him in intercession. Okay? So it's a supporting thing. Okay, I have four honors I want to talk about. This one is honoring God. We do that by believing his word. So if it says 1 Peter 2:24, by the stripes he took, we were healed. That's where we have to lock in the fact that the anointing of that word brings healing, and it's been ordained since the foundation of the world, really. And so there's an anointing in 1 Peter 2:24 that says you were healed. And so it's up to us to appropriate and put that to work in our lives and believe that. And as we do that, we have to watch our mouth. We can't believe God's word for the anointing for gifts of healing and say, well, I don't feel good. Or say something contrary to it. So my point is, the anointing for healing is there. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up our hands that way to Pastor Mike, and we just receive gifts of healings to manifest in him. We know he knows the word, and we just declare by the stripes Jesus took, he is healed, building himself up in strength so that he continue to do the work that you've called him to do. in Jesus' name. Okay, this one here, see how I got it written. This one's to all of us indirectly or directly. And it's in Ephesians 6, 1 and 3, 1, 2 and 3. It says, obey your parents, give them honor in the Lord. For this is right, honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with you, that you may be or may live a long and prosperous life. So we need, as us, we have to teach our grandchildren, our greats. We already slapped our own kids around enough that they know they have to honor us. Okay? So we've got their attention. We're getting the attention of the great or the grandchildren. One of them says, oh, in Jesus' name, I sound just like Grandma. Yeah, so they're getting it. But here it is. It goes up and it goes down. Okay? Our Father first is God, so we give him honor, right, so that we can have long lives. And he's promised us, I think it's Genesis 6, 3, 120 years. Put your faith on that one. Or he's promised us long life, 120 years, or until we are well satisfied. We have a billion souls coming. Now, I look through the eye of faith, and I see this room full. Every chair full, and people standing around back there. Because when this great awakening is starting, and when it's, we're going to see people come in. They're going to be so concerned about what's going on in the mountain. The younger kids will, and they'll go to the 6 o'clock mass. Right? Okay. So anyway, we're promised long life. You have to take that, receive that, and walk in it. Okay, this fourth one I'm going to give honor to, and it's going to be an opening to some of the testimonies we're going to have. But back in the late 70s, I think it was, 76, 77, is that when we hit California? I was left to center, lost completely, and I ended up, I was a knucklehead, but the guy I met, knew in California was a bigger knucklehead. And he took me to a Bible study. That was so strange, he and I being in a Bible study together. But he did it on purpose because he wanted me to meet Pastor Dick Reeve. He was our first pastor. And he saved my life. No question about it. He had a word of knowledge when here's what we were doing.
We're in a circle praying.
I didn't know a thing, but that's what I thought. And in the middle of this thing, he had a word of knowledge. He said something about you're divorced once, you're in trouble right now, but he also said, and you have a drinking problem. And it's the first time I could admit to it, okay, that I did. Well, in 6 months, I was totally delivered of alcohol but at a church service, and it was the Matthew, I'll read it. 10:32, it says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. I gave a little testimony in the church that morning, and as I was going, and I said, the Holy Spirit asked me to give him my alcohol. So I did. And so I confessed that to the group, of the congregation there, and one of the guys who was an alcoholic in retreat, he gave me that scripture. With that scripture, it was sealed. I was delivered of alcohol. But the whole thing was given by the grace of Dick Reeve. And Dick Reeve was my pastor, he was my friend, and he was my father. And as we started our own church, we had the church for 6 years, we merged it into another one, he followed us. We always were connected. We always had lunch at least once a month. And he would call the house every 2 or 3 weeks and say hello. He was my dad. He picked me up. Now, I had a natural dad who was good, but I didn't know about a spiritual dad until I met him. And it was just over the top for me, over the top. And since then, I got a call 2 weeks ago from one of my sons in the Lord. I don't know how many I have. I have a bunch from back down south. I have a few up here, too. And it's really what Judith and I were talking about the other day. We're going to be teaching down in Prescott in front to people. And God's trusted us with them, us with them. You know, it's a big responsibility. But it was all birth because Pastor Dick put his arms around us, grabbed us, took us, and showed us a direction. And he's in heaven now. He's probably watching this laughing. But he's been my pastor, and I just honor him. So think about the people that are in your past that really meant something to you. So when you have an opportunity with them, give them honor. Give them a call. Give them a slap in the back or something. Because it'll help them, and it'll also help you. So it was a great birthing for Judith and I to meet Pastor Dick Reeve. He's always been our pastor. He's still our pastor in heaven because of the first part. But then I've learned to accept like a Pastor Mike, absolutely, from the beginning. Okay. So anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. It's been over 40-some years since I've had a drop of anything that's alcoholic. And it's, yeah, praise God. And it's all because of the grace of God. Didn't have to go to, I don't even know the name of it, alcoholic and AA. Yeah. Didn't have to do that. I went to the AA of heaven. You know, went right to the head man and got it. So anyway, that's all I wanted to say about that. I do want to introduce you to a legend. I call him the legend, Tom Long. He doesn't call himself a legend, but I do. When Judith and I first bought a place up here, it was 98. I don't know when it was, 99, 100, 2000, whatever that is, those days. What are those dates? That was the turn of the century. Anyway, I was over at Sierra Creek playing golf, and I'm playing golf with Tom Long. He may not remember this, but I do. And he invited me to church on the mountain. And then I get there, and he's not there. He's always an evangelist. He's out somewhere doing something. And I said, oh, that's great. Anyway, but that's when we were weekend warriors up here. So anyway, Pastor Mike says, pick some people. I picked Tom, and the reason why I picked Tom is the building we're in and the lodge. He was pretty much responsible for it, but he knows exactly what happened, how it was built, and how it came about. And so I thought for a lot of us, we don't know that, you know. So I thought it'd be nice for Tom to just give a few words on how that worked out. I imagine the pastor was Albie at the time. Is that correct? I'll let him talk.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Wow, it's an honor. It's an honor to be here in front of you. I haven't been in the church in a long time, but I do know it well. And from when it first started. So I don't know exactly where to go with this little conversation, because I was just kind of asked to share a little bit. And I have a million stories. I'm a tidbit story guy. I can tell stories all day long, but I don't want to pull anything away from this morning. The worship was beautiful, and it's an honor to just be here. I met John back here from June, and I got to see some good friends here and there, and Billy, Mark pulled in. I haven't seen him, and I haven't been in the church in a long time. I was associate pastor here. I was saved here. But that was in the first part, which was the one-story part in the back. And Tom, you were around in those days.
Same place.
So this, let's see, you know, I don't know exactly how far back to go with all this, but we had the church in the back, and then years later under Pastor John Harvey, because the original pastor was Albie Pearson. And he was a dear, like you were talking about, a dad to many people. He was great. He ordained me, told stories about baseball. I don't know. How many here would know Albie? You guys all know Albie? Oh, a lot of people, yeah. He was great. I could tell Albie stories all day as well. But anyway, Albie was the first pastor we had. And we had that little church in the back. And then after a few years, he had moved to Lake Tahoe. And we built this part in the middle from that beam there. It goes up two stories. And we all had little kids at that time, or we're starting to have little kids, and we wanted to have a school. So we built that two-story part. At that time, I was building my house, and I was 28. I remember kind of heading that up and building that, and we had a jacuzzi or we were going to have a baptismal over there because somebody had a word of God. We needed one. It's filled in with concrete. I learned a lot in those days. The pastor at that time wanted the building to go out further, and it does. It kind of juts out that way about 6 or 8 feet where the fireplace is, and it was to go out to the right as well. And the big power lines that go across here. I just had got my contractor's license. I think I was 28, and so I'm in charge, you know. And Pastor John at the time, he said, "Well, no, it's going to go out. I heard from God," and I went, "Oh, okay." So I checked, you know, and Edison said, "No, you can't do that. It's going to be underneath the power lines." And I went, And it was one of my first little dilemmas, and I'm not sure if this is okay to go here, but I was 28, and I'm believing the pastor, right? Because, I mean, he's the authority, and he's a wonderful guy. John has since passed on, but I was, okay. But Edison, you know, and Edison had a helicopter that landed here. I'm 28, and I meet the helicopter here because there wasn't anything around Crowley Lake because this is 40... some odd years ago, 44 years ago or something like that. And so, you know, so anyway, the helicopter guy says, "No." But the pastor guy said, "Yeah, I heard from God." So I built it out because I'm following, right? And I built it out, and then I tore it off. Anyway, and I always went, "Well, how'd that work?" You know, but sometimes we miss God sometimes, but everybody... From Albie through everything, has always just wanted to follow God with both hands. And so that was built 40-some-odd years ago. And then the church just kept growing. And then this part right here, I don't know how many years ago. It was before we built the lodge, and that's coming around to close to 20 now. So we'll say 25 years ago was this part here. And there's a heater in that closet right back there that was put in by L.V. Henderson, who just passed away this last week or so. And so I heard the heater kick on. I went, "L.V." And really, you know, and you guys need to hear this because this church from day one in the middle part has all been given, and it's always been paid for all the way along. Never had a debt. And when I was building this, like if the drywall came off there, all those studs have scriptures all over them, all the way around. And I was pinned underneath the trusses right up here. And the man that was helping with he had a forklift. And he was a roofing contractor back in the day, Bob Ross. He has since passed on. But, of course, these trusses, you can see how long they were. And I built this, and I was up. I was pretty good up high then. Now Kathleen goes, "No, Tom." But anyway, I was up there, and I was trying to kind of spread these trusses out. And Bob Ross was on his forklift, and he was trying to help me. And he lifted them up, and they just kind of carted on my leg and pinned me to the top of the wall. So when I'm in here, I go, But anyway, that being said, lake's fine. And that leads me to another story about Bob Ross. Bob Ross was a knucklehead, just like all of us, right? And Bob lived up here. He had a roofing thing, and he got a lot of real estate and did well financially. And about 20 years ago, he owned all this property behind the church. And it was for sale. And there was some of the bros here at the church and went, gosh, if we could buy that property, we could build another church right down here. And we could sell a bunch of lots to help finance building the church. Because at that time, we had a school going that had 30, 40 kids. And so a great idea. So I surveyed the property and another friend here in the church, we divided it into lots. And I had a bunch of them kind of sort of sold to people that wanted to build down here. And it was like, it was great. But anyway, there's stakes still kind of out there. And I'll never forget the guy that pinned me to the wall about 20 years ago came to Paul Rowan and I and goes, you know, because we were going to try to buy it for $1 million. And he gave that property. Amen. Out behind here, I think probably Church on the Mountain is the largest landholder in Crowley Lake. Do you guys know that? There's room down here for a gorgeous facility. It could be a basketball court / church. This could be a high school for all you guys that are having kids and stuff. I'm serious. This church was built by just everybody sitting here. It was not dot-com daddy that came in and threw down huge money. Phil Higer, Tom Lonsdale, all of us, we used to chain cars. On the weekends, Friday, when everybody would come up. Right? We were just, it was never a big heavy hitter. And there was always enough that where everything that we did was paid for. And he asked me to talk about the lodge. And so we had the vision of a lodge. And same group. And Paul Rowan donated that property up there. And so we had gotten finished building the Father's Heart Ranch, which was another project down in the desert for abused boys. And maybe some of you know about that. But when I got home from there, we started the lodge. And you know the scripture, always count the cost before you build stuff. That's a Tom version. We didn't have enough money at all. Like we had, I don't know, 10 grand. Right? And I'm going to go up here and build the lodge. And so we started in. And I had a good friend that has a trucking business, an 18-wheeler, and I asked him if he could come and help brush the property and move dirt and because I had enough money for that. And another friend came down from Mammoth with loaders and started moving some dirt, but we needed to haul material in and out. And so this good friend, he came and started hauling dirt. And so all day long, 18-wheelers moving. And then the next week he came back, and then this and then that. And I said, Stan, I need to get square with you because I had enough money to pay him, and I just want to keep as close as I could. And he goes, oh, okay, yeah, but I need some more dirt. So he brought more dirt. And finally I went, Stan, you got to give me a bill. And he pulls out his little deal, and the first invoice said, you know, it was X amount of hours, you know, and it's $125 an hour. And it was N/C. It was no charge. And the next one was N/C. N/C. And I'm standing there going, huh. And he goes, Tom, Some preach, some teach, and I drive a truck. And that's what this lodge, church, property out back, God's got enough. I met a guy the other day, and I'll give this back. I'm sorry. I don't want to. But I was bass fishing in some lake between Phoenix and Lake Havasu. I was 2.5 hours down a dirt road in my motorhome. My wife's about to kill me. But anyway, little motorhome. And through the arroyos and stuff and got to this lake. Anyway, I'm bass fishing. Then I meet this guy, and he's got this old motorhome, and he was cool. And Jack, had to be Jack. And he let me lose his little kayak. And Jack goes, you know, I got more than Bill Gates will ever have. And I went, Jack, he's just a little above homeless, right? And but he's cool. He's a great guy. And he goes, I got more than Bill Gates will ever have. I have enough. I went, thanks, Jack. I like that. Church on the Mountain's always had enough. And I too believe this place is to be full.
Yes.
And God has always been faithful. When that lodge was being built, there was a big retaining wall that had to go in. It's 11 feet tall, poured in place concrete. I was building that. There was a hairdresser helping me tie the steel. She would come every day, drop her child off to school, and help tie rebar. It was 8-inch on center, both directions. And I saw that wall go. And everything as we went, we paid. And when the school was going, I sold. That's when I got gray hair. I ended up, we didn't have the money, but I kept going and going. And now I need to order all this lumber, right? And I knew it'd take me a little while to get it framed up, but I needed 500 studs, whatever it was. And I sold them. Like, who wants to buy a stud? $5.71 each. So I sold them to the kids. The kids bought some, so the parents threw in. Everybody threw in, right? And when by the time the walls were up, the bill came, we paid for all the studs and the floor and the plywood and everything that went along. And when that was worth several $100,000, when it was done, it was paid for. And I just think you guys needed to hear a little bit of the faithfulness of God to this church. He has poured his love in every one of us. Everybody I meet here has been blessed by God. And it's an amazing heritage that we should kind of hang on to. The Elvis here and the Rowans or the Bob Ross. Bob Ross, even though he didn't come to this church, believed in it and donated that property. To Paul and I, we were standing out there, and after I'd done all that work to try to subdivide it, he just gave it all to us. And I think we have a responsibility. Now, I'm not the pastor guy. I should hand this off. But I really do. God has put a responsibility that we have the good news. And he's given us the heart of Crowley Lake and beyond. There was words that went on here for all the years. I mean, my wife and I celebrated 47 years the other day. And it was 47 years ago I came to the Lord. And from day one here at this church, there's been words about you'll go into the nations and you go all over here and there. I've had the pleasure of traveling from Thailand to Africa to here to South America and building things. And I have seen God use this church from orphanages in South America to work in Thailand. I have pictures of 40-some-odd people from this church in Thailand. There was always enough. I could stand in front of the church and go, hey, we have 38 young adults, and we have Hurricane Katrina, and we need to get them on an airplane, and we need to get them back there to help serve. I need money and air miles. And bam, there was money and air miles. And I've seen that over and over and over. And I guess I just, hopefully I haven't overdone. But I think I want you to be encouraged. COVID is nothing. All this stuff.
Hey. We thank you. We love you, buddy.
Yeah,
absolutely. Good job. It says give honor where honor is due. And when Tom walked in, I said, okay, he's hit. Okay. Lauren. Now, this is going to be 5 minutes. I instructed her ahead of time. Now I'm looking at the clock. We have 17 minutes for Lauren and Dominic.
So real quick story. I'll make this part really brief. But Tom, everything you just shared was right up the alley of what God put on my heart too, about how there's not only more than enough, that he knows what we need, Matthew 6:8, before we even ask. I'll just read that. Matthew 6:7 and 8. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Yeah. As a good dad, he already knows what we need before we even come to him. So how much more confidence can we have when we come to him? Because he does want us to ask, right? Ask and it will be given to you. Quick testimony, actually, I just want to continue to honor Tom. He doesn't know this story, actually. One day I was at work, and I was training up a girl I was working with. She was a new hire. And God was just really opening the door for me to just speak into her life. And she was just so hungry and just so soft and receiving and eating up everything I was saying. She just starts crying. And she's like, you remind me of someone. She was like, one day, my boyfriend and I were up at Lake George. And it was snowing. There was nobody else around, like, but the roads were still open kind of thing. And she's like, it didn't really make sense for other people to be up there. She's like, one day, and then this guy in this truck just pulls up out of nowhere, and he has like stuff in the back of his truck, construction stuff, and he just starts talking to us, and he starts sharing, and she was like, as he was sharing, it was like, she used these terms, she's like, it was like he was a prophet or something, and she's like, it just, everything that he said just resonated with our hearts, and we're just like, whoa. And anyway, she's like, you might know him. And it was you. And God used you and then opened the door for me to speak into her life. And isn't that how God works? And it was just so powerful. And so thank you for being you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yeah, we need to give honor where honor is due, right? So what I was going to share about actually is God's faithfulness in this past year. We all have our stories and testimonies of God's goodness in the land of the living in the midst of a pandemic. Every single one of us has a story. And mine started out with, real quick, I'm going to make this fast, but beginning of 2020 for me, before the pandemic, due to the AB5 law, as an independent contractor, I lost my job, right? And they're like, we're laying off everybody in California just because of this law that was passed. And so I'm like, okay. I was on this trip traveling back to Australia, New Zealand, where I lived. Anyways, God had supplied. I had a little extra saved up, and he had provided. And I got back. I was in San Diego before I came back up here. And my car, which is sitting right out there, she's doing good. Don't worry about her. She still runs. So I was driving, and all of a sudden my engine just starts doing this weird thing. And then my check engine light doesn't just come on; it flashes. And I watched as my car, which has been so faithful, God talks about how our sandals won't wear out and all that stuff. It's true. I've had that car since I was 19 years old. I won't tell you how older I am now. I'm below 39, okay? and I watched my car get taken off in a tow truck. I was like, okay, God, this could be it. I told God I wanted to drive it until it didn't drive, you know? Anyways, found myself at a Pep Boys, and God provided. My dad was like, you know, it ended up being the, first they thought it was the coils in the engine. Help me out, ignition coils. The spark plugs. And then after they tested the spark plugs, it ended up being the ignition coils. That was another $400, right? I'm like, okay, God, how are you going to pay for this? And literally, as the guy brought me my, he was telling me how much everything was going to cost, and he was breaking it down. He's like, labor is this much, but I put a zero. Parts were this much, but I put a zero. Lauren, I am not charging you anything today. And I got back in my car, and I drove up to Mammoth. And all throughout this past year, it doesn't make sense how I've had more than enough, right? And God's just continued to provide work, and I do a variety of things and take care of me and all of that. And it came to the last month of the year, and there was one week where, you know, around the holidays, sometimes things can seem like there's more expenses for whatever reason. And I was like, I really need a new puffy jacket going into the winter. And was looking at some Patagonia ones. My boss had like a pro deal discount, and she was like, yeah, you can get it. And so I was like, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to get this. And just as I was about to get that, I got a picture from my mom with a down vest and a down puffy jacket saying, Lauren, do you want these? And the puffy jacket fit me perfect. It was in the color I would have wanted. It was just perfect. That same, like, within the next week or two, my blender breaks. I'm like, I need a new blender. And I was looking at NutriBullets because they're great. And I was like, okay, God, like, I'm just trusting, like, that you're going to provide. And my friend's like, oh, I have an extra blender. And I was thinking, I had gone to the thrift store, right, in the interim and bought a blender, and it didn't work either. And so she's like, I have a blender. You can just have it. I was like, what? She brings in a box. It's a NutriBullet, brand new. It's turquoise, which is the color of my apartment. Like, everything is, like, in teal blue. It's the same color. Then, right before the year ends, December 22nd, I got a phone call. Now, I've lived up here for 7 years without a four-wheel drive car. And it's been good. I've gotten really good at chains. Maybe I can make some money. I got a phone call saying, Lauren, we want to give you a car. And it was a four-wheel drive car, and it was above and beyond. It was a Range Rover, right? And somebody just gave it to me. And so that car still works. It's my distance car. She's good and faithful. She's still running. But that car is the hardest car to pass smog. And you have to pass smog before you can hand off a car, right? Change the tile over. So there's some expenses involved to get it fixed to pass smog. And that's a miracle. It did pass. We got it fixed. But God provided a stimulus check that covered the entire cost of fixing that car. And so that has been my year in review. And it's been not just God providing, but He knows what we need before we even ask. And not just what we need, but what we want, you know? And He knows the colors. He knows, you know, the functionality and all of that. And so I just wanted to share and testify. That was more than 5 minutes.
That's a blessing. Thank you, Lauren. Mr. Dominic.
Till you're done. Oh, I feel like I'm going to blow up. I feel like I'm going to explode. Seriously. Listen, I need to apologize for the last time I came up here and I preached. I was like a racehorse and somebody let the gates open and I just flew open. I did not share my testimony. I realize a lot of you don't know me. Some of you have seen me over the years. But one of the people that impacted me the most the first time I ever came out here was Tom. Tom, he doesn't know about it. I don't know if he remembers the story he told me, but Justin and I had this horrible fishing experience. He told me about the same experience he went through, and it was beautiful. And I was like, I went that whole same route that you did, and it was horrible for me. And then God, on the way back home, God was like, it's all about your perspective. How are you, were you glorifying me through it all? And I said, I was not. I was not. And it taught me such a big lesson. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. Before I tell you my testimony, I want to tell you what's going on right now. God's brought my wife Danielle and I out here, and I said, Lord, I want to wash feet. I want your heart. And Mike called me up and said, Dominic, do you want to wash the toilets? And I was like, yes. My wife and I come here and we clean the toilets. This is my testimony. We clean the toilets and we vacuum the floors and we wipe clean everything, and his presence comes. Contentment with godliness is great gain, you guys. You don't have to be up here preaching. You don't have to have the mic. If you can't find fellowship with God in the small things, even how He provides to fix your car, if you can't find fellowship with those things, you have no business up here with the mic. It will not fill your soul. It will not fill your soul. So here's my testimony. I was a broken kid. Broken. And I was born with an eye disease called retinitis pigmentosa. I can barely see you guys. That's okay, because that's going to change. All right? When I give you guys that testimony, it's going to launch. It's going to – just wait and see. Pray. You will all partake in what God's going to do. Now, listen. I was born with this eye disease, extreme rejection. I grew up, and it progressed over the years. And I had night blindness. I'm not going to explain the details, but certain types of light I can see, certain types I can't. If it's too dark, can't see. Low peripheral vision. I miss people. I don't see them. Sometimes I beeline it to my direction because I don't see you. I'm not being rude. I apologize if I've ever offended you. If I missed a handshake or something, it's not you. It's something we're walking through, okay? So with that said, I experienced a lot of rejection growing up. And, of course, my father not being there, did not know how to be a man, did not know how to live. So I began to hang out with the wrong crowd. About 12 years old, it got so bad, my mom put me in karate. I went to karate. I did so well in that. And I began to use my instinct. Then I was like the blind samurai. What's it called? Zatoichi. I don't know if you guys ever seen that. He was a blind samurai. He used to chop dudes up. He couldn't see nothing. It was like he could feel everything. And I just began to build the other senses. And I could see and feel where things were and just know where. And anyways, I began to feed on that. And my success in the martial arts, all the way up until Bible college, when I met Mike and Justin 21 years ago. 21 years ago. I began to find fulfillment in that. And that began to be what gave me value, personal wealth in my soul, personal significance, sense of belonging. And it's fleeting. Just like being up here and preaching. This is not something you should be trying to find significance and value and self-worth. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Is that not true? Yes. What about your job? What about your children? Uh-oh. I've heard people post on Facebook, my kids are my life. No. No, Jesus is your life and your kids have nothing unless Jesus is your source. Because you have nothing to give them but things that will disappear and fleet in disappointment. They need Jesus. You need Jesus. Contentment with godliness is great gain, people. That's why his presence comes when I'm wiping that toilet with my headphones on and praising Jesus. His glory fills the room. And I'm like, I found it. I got it. It wasn't karate. It wasn't martial arts. It wasn't the room full of trophies. I had trophies that were 7 feet tall, taller than me. Won the grand champion, world grand championship in forms. Been on the on TV. Been on the ridiculous. It's empty and it's false. At 19, right before I went to Bible college, I was drinking and doing drugs and partying. And I came home. I was driving home on a Sunday morning drunk from last night. And I ran a red light and I got T-boned by a big F-250 and it bent my car in half and I almost died. And something protected me. And I'm looking at my car and the cops are like, you should not be alive. We're not even going to arrest you for driving with a suspended license and without your registration paid. Go home and think about your life. And I walked home and I picked up my Bible. I began to seek God, and all the seeds that were sown in me growing up in church began to come alive. Everything. I just had this hunger. I was like, it's over. My girlfriend dumped me. My friends are going to call me no more because I don't have a car to take them to the parties. I was like, it's done. I'm done. I need to find Jesus again. There's a hunger, an insatiable hunger. And I found him. I found him. I looked onto, I just for some reason, I turned on TBN, and there's a guy with weird hair and a white suit, Benny Hinn. And I was like, what is this dude? He's paying people to come up here and tell him that people are being healed. Anyways, I'm going to make a very long story short. This is the most powerful time of my life. This was the first time, and I don't know if you remember about 20 years ago, 20-something years ago, Benny Hinn God told him to start calling the young people up. And he was like, it started in, I think it was Houston or Austin, Texas or something. And he said, I want all the young people, God told him, the last day on the last service of the last day, at the very end, I want all the young people to come up. So he called them all up. And they started running. And I'm seeing this on TV like this. Okay, because everything was fake until then. Okay, and they started running with hunger and tears on their eye like this stretched out. And I said, what is this? I was like, that's in me too. What's going to happen? And I'm glued to the TV set. And my phone's ringing for friends that want to go party. And I'm ignoring it. And I'm watching this. And this anointing that came on him that he had never experienced before came on him with such power. You can look it up on YouTube. They're still up. That he said he felt like his skin was going to leave his body. Like he was, like the electricity was, he could barely stand it. And the kids were just being shocked, electrocuted by God. Just, it wasn't fake. There was nothing fake about it. You can't pay a kid to do this. There's kids with mohawks. Kids whose entire reputations are online. If you see them in worship, they're like this. Those kids were laid out. And he started calling them up one by one by one by one. Fire! He'd be about 5 feet from them, point and say, fire! And they would fly back like a guy hit by a cannonball. Hit the ground like a fish just flapping out of water. And just being electrocuted. And tongues would just fly out of their mouths. I said, God, if that's real, I want it. He comes back to his studio. And he says, hey, next month, I'm going to be in Anaheim, California. I was in Riverside. 45 minutes away. He said, I'm going to be in Anaheim, California, and I'm going to see if this is going to happen again. I'm going to call him up, and we're going to see what happens. I was there. Trust me, I was there. I was waiting, and the usher was holding me back, and I was like there like before he called him up. I was like, I'm going to be in the front. If this is God, I'm not going to tell you the other stuff that happened in the line, with people prophesying over me, and I didn't know what it was. The first time I encountered the presence of God was there in that line. And it was ancient and brand new and beautiful and eternal. And I could smell God. Does that make sense to anybody? I could feel his tangible presence in my teeth. I don't know how to explain it. But it was so new. I was like, God's real. He's on the earth. And I can feel him. His name is Holy Spirit. And I'm going to love you the rest of my life. And so when he called me up, when they called the young people up, I beelined it to that stage. And my hands were on the stage. The moment my hands hit the stage, I started shaking like somebody plugged me up to one of these electrical wires up here. And I was crying. And I knew at any time I could just say, I don't want this, and it would leave. But I yielded. And I yielded and I said, God, more. I love you. This is beautiful. And he called me up on the stage and he said, fire on you, young man. And I flew back and I hit the ground speaking in tongues. And I said, this is it. This is everything. There's nothing else to live for. There's nothing greater. This is eternal. Everything else is temporal. All right. 19 years old with my gangster clothes and my big Birkenstock shoes, and I was, you know, I threw away my Wu-Tang CDs and all these gangster rap stuff. I started throwing them. I just broke them. And I said, it's all about Jesus. I went home and started fasting. I didn't even know what fasting was. I was like, I think that's something I can do. I skip a meal and I feel his presence. And things started flying off me. I read the Bible and I started coughing up air. I would read the Bible. I couldn't get enough. And I started coughing up air. And I was like, oh my gosh, what's happening? And somebody told me that was later on that I was being delivered. And I started having dreams. I had a dream where I got caught up and I could hear angels and I hit my body again. Boom. And I came out of the dream and I was like, this is weird. This is very, and I would write dreams. I write everything down. And then so what happened is I went to another Benny Hinn crusade several months later. The same thing happened again. He called me back up. He hit me again. Fire! And I was like, yes, again. The whole thing happened again. And then I found out about Bible college. That's where I met Mike and Justin. We went on the mission field. During the time I was in Bible college, people, I heard that Benny Hinn had his studio there in about 15 minutes away. I went and I volunteered. I ushered for him at his studio for twice a month. And it was during that time that I actually would meet him face to face. And he pulled me off to the side even and would prophesy over me and would say things. Now, this is not about me, okay? I tell you me. I'm happy cleaning toilets, people. I'm happy. I am content. I am content. I'm happy. And God, and in from this place, I'm telling you not to glorify myself, but to show you what happens when you obey the hunger of God in your life. This is what happens. He meets you. You take a step forward, and he takes a step forward to you. Draw nigh to him, and he will draw nigh to you. Trust this. Trust this. And this time, he pulled me aside, and he would say things to me. He would prophesy to me. He took me to the green room in the back, and I was so intimidated, so insecure, I missed an opportunity that he had given me. But God is restoring those doors. He's opening those doors again in my life. But this is what happened. This is the biggest turning point in my life. And I'm going to tell you this is where I'm going to end here, okay? Because this is where we're going. This is where we are going as a church. My heart is knit to this place. I pray with for this church Monday through Friday from 5:45 to 7:45 a.m. A handful of you have been here and you know what God is doing. Everything Tom Long has spoken about, that stuff has been downloaded into me and we are praying it through. All the prayers, everything has been culminating and coming together for this moment. Do you understand? Jesus is coming back and we are at the end. This is the end of the end. We are wrapping it all up together to prepare the coming of the Lord. And this great billion soul harvest, even more than that, is going to happen. Part of it is here. It's a worldwide revival that's going to come forth from those who release and believe. And I'm telling you, come to prayer if you can pull it off. We're going to switch it up and maybe do evenings soon. I'm not changing anything for right now, but just keep attentive and join if you can. Make this just once a week, maybe once a month. Just come and join because we are praying it through. All the 30, 40 years of prayer is culminating and coming together. And things are happening. And this is it, people. And I feel like I'm going to blow up. And God keeps telling me, it's not time. It's not time. Just wait. Just wait. And I'm like, okay. Okay, I'll calm down. I feel like a racehorse coming. You ever seen the racehorses? We right when they're coming out of the gate. And they're snorting and they're just... I'm right there. I'm like that. And every morning I get a chance to release a little bit of that. Okay, but I have to obey because I want to take off. And when it happens, people, do not be a spectator. Join. Participate. Let's gain some reward for eternity together. Okay? Because diamonds and gold are going to follow you every step you take. This, I don't know if that makes sense to you. It was a dream that I had that we were running. And there was just like this trail of diamonds and gold. Because we got on, we ran the race with endurance all the way to the end. Okay? These are the eternal treasures. Love and salvations. All right. This is it. This is it. And I'm going to tell you how it's going to happen. My second year of Bible college, I was living with Justin and Mike. Mike and Justin were off doing something. And I said, hey, man, I got a hold of this message about worship. Okay? I got a hold of this message about worship. And this is what you do. Guys, this is the last couple of minutes, all right? We're going to close right now. Get ready. I'm going to hand the mic to you. And you can do whatever you want. But I really want you to get this in your spirit and listen, because this is the path that God showed me. I understood the concept of revival because I came from Robert Larrington's church. He was our spiritual father, and he wrote the book God's Generals. And so I grew up learning about the Azusa Street Revival and how that was birthed. I grew up learning about the Evan Roberts, the that revival that occurred. And the Welsh revival. I learned about all these other revivals. And the thing that stuck with me the most was the consistency of their prayer and their worship. Okay? But God said that this next one is going to be a culmination of prayer and worship. Understand that those 24 elders in Revelation 5, 8, what do they have in their hands? They threw their crowns before the Lord. Okay? So they don't have the crowns. What do they got? They got a bowl of incense, which is the prayer of the saints, and they have a harp in the other hand. Prayer and worship. Okay? Listen to this. I got a hold of this message, and I told Mike and Justin, I said, dude, you guys got to jump in with me. They're like, hey, we got to work, but we'll meet you on this day, this time. I said, okay, because I'm giving 3 days to nothing but this. And I said, God, give me a glimpse. Give me a glimpse. And he gave me a glimpse. This is what I did. I fasted for a day and a half. And I went to do three full days. And I did 6 hours a day. All right? Day two, 6 hours a day of what? Just worship, no music. I turned the music off and I gave him me from the inner parts of my. He wanted a drink. He promised, he said, if you give me a drink, I'll give you a drink. And that drink will be a river of living water that flows forth from your belly. You are the light of this world. What is the revival? The revival is not Jesus coming down. The revival is Jesus coming out from you. You are the light of the world. It comes out from you. You are the one through whom Christ will shine. And the revival comes forth through you. And when a group of people do this together, we will have revival. You understand? Lights together will make a big bright light shining on a hill, on the mountain, church on the mountain. And we will be walking, talking, little Jesuses everywhere. Everywhere. And this whole place is going to, the whole region is going to get saved. All right, listen. Here it is. I did this. I turned off the music. I turned off everything. I locked myself away 6 hours. And I said, Father, I love you. I worship you. I magnify you. Thank you for Christ. Thank you for Christ in me. Let that light shine. I love you. I bless you. I worship you. And then I hit a ceiling. Oh, I can't think right. I'm getting distracted. I'm hungry. No, I break past the ceiling right now. And I just kept going boom, boom, boom. 15 minutes later, I'd hit another open area. And I kept going, Father, I just worship you. I bless you. Woo, I feel your presence. Hallelujah. And then I kept going through these ups and downs, hitting these ceilings and breaking through, hitting these ceilings and breaking through. And I'm telling you, the first day was so hard. It felt like I was drinking cracker juice. It was dry. And then the second day, something happened. I broke through and I began to see the light of Christ that's in me. And I began to, because I gave it all to him, and he began to pour himself out through me. And I began to be flooded in my own river. Does that make sense? The river that was flowing out from me, I was feeling, and I thought it was him coming down. He was like, hey, I'm in you. That's me in you, coming around you. By day three, Mike and Justin walked through the door. They bit the dust. They bit the dust when they walked through the door. And they got up and they fell into it. And they were like, woo, hallelujah, it was so great. 2 hours went by, they left the room. I didn't even notice. I just kept worshiping. Do you know what it's like to feel love for the first time? True, the love of God? Oh man, it broke me. I was so happy and so filled. I had community service because I was a reckless kind of a dork at the time. And I had a few tickets I was paying. You guys know about the tickets. I told you part of my testimony. I was like, God, I got to pay the piper. So that weekend I was still in the middle of doing some community service, picking up trash on the side of the road because I had to pay the dues. And, but God was walking me out of the craziness and into a life of integrity and honor. And I said, I will go to court and pay my tickets. And I went, and what I did is I got into the van to go pick up trash on the side of the freeways in Santa Ana. And I was worshiping God the whole time. Father, I just bless you and praise you. I just magnify you. I love you. I just love you. You're just my everything. All my days, from waking to sleeping, was given to him during this week. And then I got in that van, and the presence of God filled that van. And the guy next to me started crying. These are rough guys. These are guys, rough guys. I'm in the van with a bunch of people doing community service, ordered by the court. Guy in front of me started shaking violently. And nobody knows what's going on. Nobody's saying nothing. Normally, when I get in that van, those guys are cursing up a storm, talking about the party they did last night. It was dead silent. People crying, and I'm telling you, this is the light of revival. Imagine if every single one of us did this and carried this throughout Crawley, throughout Bishop, throughout Mammoth, and we began to bring an orderly garden everywhere we walked. This is how Peter was able to heal people with his shadow. The distance from where God was able to bring that light was about the length of his shadow. That's why people said it was a shadow. It wasn't physically his shadow. It was that distance. How long is your shadow? I don't know, maybe 15 feet, 10 feet at the most. And he's just walking. Blessed, on the floor, getting knocked out, getting healed. This is what God wants to bring. He can do this through you. And believe it. Some of you are doubting. Oh, what does your sin have to do? Is your sin greater than the blood of Jesus? Begin to enter into the fellowship that he has invited you into. And I'm telling you, this is what's going to happen. And when all of us are doing this and we come together, have you seen two lights? It illuminates so much. The circumference in which it illuminates is so much. And when they come together, the circumference increases dramatically. So imagine if all of us are these lights shining Jesus coming all together. This will reach. Reno, Fresno to the coast. Reading down to Los Angeles. We're talking about revival. We're talking about revival. We're talking about the greatest grand finale the world has ever seen. And then we get caught up in glory. And we're there at the wedding feast. And I'm telling you, this is what it's all about. You have an opportunity to be part of this grand finale, this great, great harvest, and give Jesus what he came to die for. We can do it.
Thank you, Dominic. Karen, do we have that? You think? We're going to close. It's been a good day. A lot of good word. It shows how the goodness of God, it's just beautiful to watch through the people. A few years ago, we were at a prophetic convention at Perry Stone's church. Not church. his hall, 33,000 people, I think. And then Friday night we had Judy Jacobs came and did a song that about blew off the roof in my mind and with everybody there. So if Karen can do it, we're going to do it. This was done at a Benny Hinn convention in Anaheim with I don't know how many thousands of people, but ready to rip it. And so let me, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for today. We thank you for the words that have come forth. We just speak a blessed week to everybody. And as this song is played, if you can leave, go. If you can't, I'll understand. Enjoy. Thank you.